Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast, episode 15. And we're super pumped once again. We have Simeon, formerly from the Swedish Homestead, now from Simeon and Alex YouTube channel. You can find him on Twitter as well. Simeon, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm very excited to be on.
Yeah, this is what's really cool and neat about social media is, you know, our boys kind of started this YouTube thing 6 or 7 years ago, probably right about the same time. You know, there was a sophomore class of YouTubers, homesteaders thing when this whole homesteading tsunami that Joel Salatin talks about, when this homesteading tsunami started. We were kind of unbeknownst to us on the front end of this when Justin Rhodes, prior to his Great American Farm Tour and all these different things. And we have all of these like friends, so to speak, on YouTube where we all kind of started doing similar things at the same time. And it's neat to get to talk to each other and talk about these things. Yeah. And what's really... I think we're going to get some awesome perspectives today because Simeon is, y'all currently live in Austria, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And from what I've understand, according to one of your videos, you said that you've all moved like 24 times?
Yeah, so my wife and I, not with all the kids, they weren't part of all the moves, but, and you know, not all of them were major moves, but we have lived at 24 different places, and a lot of that was due to missions work and full-time ministry, moving around and switching, you know, one apartment there and then another place there. And but you know, the longest time we've ever lived anywhere was in Sweden on the farm, which was 9 years.
Yeah. Wow. So how many,
go ahead.
So how many countries have y'all lived in?
Together we have lived in Germany, Sweden, and Austria.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why I think your perspective is going to be so interesting, because there are some major changes coming to your geographical location. Yeah. And I love the, you know, your YouTube channel. I'm trying to recall exactly, you know, basically the concept is, you know, why America? You know, y'all have experienced Europe. You've lived in three different countries in Europe, and you are choosing to move to America. And I find this fascinating for multiple reasons. Now, as an American, we strategically relocated about 10 years ago from the Northeast, and you know, I want this to be informative and inspirational for everyone that is considering a move, because we kind of uprooted and we drove 2,000 miles to a place that we didn't know anyone or anything. And here y'all are way over the pond, okay? And you're uprooting and moving your entire family. Y'all have four children, I believe?
Four, yes.
So you've lived in three different countries. So why America? So why move to America?
I mean, on one hand, it's a longer, you know, answer, but on the other hand, it's a very short answer too. The short answer is Alex, my wife, she is from the US, and we have her side of the family that lives there and a lot of friends, and I would say most most friends live there, and especially like-minded friends. And so that is one huge reason why we, you know, why it's America and not, you know, I don't know, Africa or Asia or something else. that's one short answer. Another short answer is, you know, as Christians, we feel that God is leading us there. But, you know, the longer answer is also that we would have never thought this just a few years ago. We thought coming from Sweden to Austria, we would be in Austria. But instead, what God had in mind was having it be a place where we could heal, where we could grow as a family, where we could learn more, get prepared, both in practical knowledge, agricultural knowledge, but also in our walk with God. And he uses it as like this jumping board. Do you say that in English? You know, like to go to the States. We feel like we are much better prepared now than we've ever been. And God used this time also, these past 3.5 years, to really show us that that's where he wants us to be.
It's kind of fascinating. I think in these last 3 years, whether people want to see it or not, God has shown us a lot of things. I think it speaks a lot to the decisions that y'all are making. And, you know, because of your situation and scenario, you know, you're a little bit restrained from what you can actually say and have an opinion on and vocalize. And I completely understand that. And I respect it and completely understand it. One thing we have so much in common when it comes to superficially, from what I can ascertain, when it comes to our faith in the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we raise our families and different things. I was wondering if you could speak to, you know, we were given a heavy burden to simplify our life and to live a more simplified type of agrarian, for lack of a better term, agrarian lifestyle, for the sake of raising our children with a focus on food, in the sense that, you know, God has given us food for our nourishment and for our healing. And in order for us to be able to fully utilize that, we do need to know where it comes from. We need to know what's in it. And I was wondering if you could speak to that as a father and as a parent Okay, so I'm in Texas right now. How many miles? Okay, so you're flying to Arizona. How many miles? How far are you moving? Do you have any idea on how many miles that is?
I don't know. It's 9 hours time difference. That's what I know. Well, we're not planning on settling in Arizona, but that's where we'll crash. Sure. With my but it is very far, obviously. It's not just west, it's also a very significant amount south.
Yes. Okay.
The American continent is just much further south than the European, the Northern American continent. People often don't realize that. So both where we plan on settling, somewhere in Tennessee probably, and Phoenix, it's as far south as Northern Africa, like Morocco, where the earthquake just happened.
Right, okay.
People don't understand. Like, we in Sweden, we were as far north as Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's funny. You
just don't... So that's why it is not quite as cold there, but the daylight was just as dark there during the winters, which is one of the reasons I'm glad I'm not there
anymore. Sure.
You know, that was really hard.
Yeah.
That was really hard.
So what do you see as the importance as a Christian, as a father with children, about living an intentional life and how that relates to raising children and teaching and training them?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about this. So being a good father is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, by far. Nothing comes even close, not even being married, because you can choose your partner, you can reason with that person, and you can beforehand decide whether or not you want to commit to each other. But, you know, the kids come and they are these little bundles, and yes, you love them, but they just scream in your face at times, you know, and you have to give.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, self-sacrificial, one-way oriented love at the beginning. And anybody can be a biological parent, but to raise your children well and invest into them, and also view them as children of God that God has entrusted to you to raise them in his ways, that requires everything of me every day, and I fail many times. But God showed me and my wife in Sweden how important the family is. We were in ministry in Sweden. We were church planters. And our family suffered a lot under, you know, we were too busy. We were struggling financially, as many missionaries and people in ministry are, at least, maybe not in the States so much. The U.S. is, for the most part, a very comfortable place to be a minister in. Not in all areas, but in many. But on the missions field, it's often very different. And, you know, we were way overworked. And then also the spiritual attacks that just went along with being pioneering in a very dark, atheistic country. And the family was suffering under it. And also, we... let's say politically and culturally, we were struggling a lot in Sweden. I lived there for 17 years. I lived most of my life in Sweden. When I was 15, almost 16, I moved from Germany to Sweden. But I spent over 17 years in Sweden. And even though I was there for that long, I came there as a teenager, I never really got into the culture. We have some friends. There were some good friends, especially from church, but it was just very, very difficult. That's a whole nother topic you could do 10 podcasts on. I'm not saying they're all bad people, but it was just incredibly difficult for me to go in there, especially as a conservative Christian that I would consider myself and a Bible-believing Christian. It is incredibly difficult in Sweden, and we were struggling there, and that's why God led us to hand over the church. And what he showed me very clearly is that just how important family is to God.
Yeah.
I mean, all the credentials in the New Testament for church servants, church leaders, elders, are based on how they perform in their family. And then once my brother, he came to me and said, you know, so often we look for people we can disciple and pour into, but here God has entrusted us kids that we have more time with them than anybody else. And how do we do this then? And I was also struggling as a dad, and I had to break out of certain things, and that move was needed for that for us. And God has since then brought us a long way, but we moved mainly for our family's sake, for our children's sake. And you mentioned food. Food is extremely important to us. In Sweden, we grew, I would say, 90% of our food ourselves. We even bought some grain from some farmers we knew. We milled it ourselves, you know. We didn't grow the grain ourselves, but we pretty much just bought some spices and toiletries at the store. And we left all of that behind, not knowing how it would be. But for us, the spiritual and mental well-being at that point was much more important than the food. We got took care of us food-wise, It has been challenging at times, and we look forward to growing our own food again. We definitely want to get there ASAP. But the spiritual and mental well-being of our family and children was even more important.
Yeah, amen. You know, it's really interesting and kind of neat, and maybe you'll get to experience this once you're in the U.S., but, you know, we relocated from the Northeast, and from our experience, you know, my wife and I grew up there. It's very different spiritually from our experience, and in my opinion, you know, that the Northeast is very different than the South, and I believe that the Civil War and what the different things that led up to the Civil War and the results of that and all the propaganda around it, and all of the political dichotomy that's still prevalent, and the revisionist history around all of that. But there's so many interesting things about that. And just like you were correlating the importance of the physical food and spiritual food, you know, from our experience and, you know, being in ministry and knowing different pastors, families, and missionaries, that predominantly those that get neglected most in ministry are the family. And it is very much out of balance, and almost in some people's minds, their family is the sacrifice they make to serve God, which is preposterous, you know. That's the exact opposite.
There are some people who openly say this.
Yeah,
there are some people who openly say this. They say, God, ministry, and church, and family, which I think is absolutely, like, I do not see that anywhere in Scripture. You know, And you know, I could say a lot of things about that, but I do not see that. Like, one of the pastors that has been very influential in my life, he told me, my wife was struggling a lot too, towards the end in Sweden. And I talked to him, I came to him for counsel and wisdom. And he said, look, you're one flesh with your wife, not with the church.
Yeah.
And that really was what made me take my final decision there, or us take the final decision. I have to do this, you know, and make a decision here. And God blessed it for the church and for us.
Yeah, that, you know, God sets an order, and the order is the husband and the wife and the gender roles that are assigned there genetically by the finger of God. You know, God created the family first, and then he gave us the church for our growth, for our edification. But they're still in that order. And when that order is neglected, just like the patriarchal order is neglected, when we violate or disrupt that order, you know, chaos ensues. And we can't, for the sake of something biblical, we can't rip it out of context, much like many folks do with Scripture and doctrine, you know, rip passages out of context to make them fit our current situation. You know, we need to actually read the book in context and then apply it. And if that means we have to make hard decisions and we have to reevaluate and then act accordingly, I just think it's so awesome to see what the Lord is doing in y'all's life and the changes you're making. Mm-hmm. And then how, through all of that, God opened the door where you can make this dynamic change. You know, we decided, we felt led of the Lord to move. We decided to do it. God supernaturally provided. And we, Jack Spirko talks about walking to freedom, you know, the finite liberty and the fading, liberty that we do have here in America. We do, by and large, have the liberty to move around. And he calls it walking to freedom. You know, we walk to freedom. Now, you, on the other hand, you've had a lot more hoops to jump through, and you're under much more constraints and restrictions. In spite of all that, you know, the Lord has opened a door for y'all, which is absolutely miraculous. I'm very thankful for the way that you identify that and explain it. The other beautiful thing that I saw y'all do as far as the timeline that you created for your children, you know, when I see things like that as a parent, you know, I always think of Habakkuk and where it says, write the vision upon tables. You, there's so much in leadership and fatherhood and patriarchy where we have to paint the picture for our children. We have to draw the future and we have to set goals and illustrate them. One, so that they can be achieved, but two, so that we can lead fearlessly into the future. And something as simple as that timeline that you worked on with your children was beautiful, you know, just drawing out that those goals and that vision. And the other beauty of that is, you know, my kids ask me all the time, like today, like, are we doing this and are we doing that? I don't know. I mean, you know, we plan on doing that and we'll see how it all goes, right? But there's so much beauty in one, illustrating that and recognizing that God's in control, and at the same time, leading your family into the future, not in a cavalier or a proud, boastful way, because nobody knows what tomorrow brings. You know, we can't control the future, but we can plan, we can march forward. And I thought that was so neat how you created that timeline. And it made your children active in it. I think that's so important with this intentional agrarian life that is centered around God and centered around the scriptures. And I, you know, some people get a little geeked out because I talk about this all the time. I am not trying to overemphasize this fact of like, in order to effectively follow scripture, that you have to grow your own food or anything like that. I just see the value in the simplicity and the intentionalness of all of it that are directly correlated to all of the biblical illustrations as far as when it comes to food and when it comes to the fig tree and the olive branch and grapes and grafting and all these different things. And I think why we miss a lot of those illustrations are because we've become so detached from it. And that's by design, right? That's all part of the postmodern synthetic agenda to detach us from reality, to detach us from the dirt, to detach us from a slower type intentional living where we commune with what God has created us. You know, God made Adam and Eve. He set them in the garden, right, to tend it. And you know, we've been systematically detached from all that. And synergistically, there's so much value added when we stop and take time to do that. And there are different seasons. The season you're in right now with your family is you're not doing that because God's in control. And there are different seasons. There's winter, spring, summer, and fall, right? And there's different seasons. You can't grow all those seasons. You can't harvest all those seasons. You can't plant all those seasons. And so there are different seasons. And your season right now is different than our season. But I don't know, maybe you could interject to that with raising a family and deciding to continue, right? So because you were in that season of growing your food and serving the Lord in Sweden, and now you've been in a season that is different with the hopes of in the future, you know, coming back into that season. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So, well, I would have two approaches to answer that question. One is, you know, again, from my, just as a follower of Christ, that, you know, we have to follow where he leads us. The lead verse for us has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, when we moved from Sweden, and we announced it a week before COVID went crazy, and then everybody was telling us you can't go, but we went anyway. It just seemed humanly foolish to do that move, you know? And I mean, everybody let us know too. And our channel has suffered from mm-hmm. it. Viewership has suffered. We lost 90% of our friends when we left Sweden. Mm. What we did was a real step of obedience, step of faith. And in the time of COVID, where all of a sudden all the homesteaders started sharing, look, we are just fine. We have all the food we have. And we had that for years. But then in the time where everything locked down, except for Sweden, where we were, we left that only country, drove towards a border that was closed for us. And God brought us through that border into a land where we didn't have a home. We didn't know where we'd be. I didn't have an income. We arrived with 50 euros in our pocket. Yeah. And God provided ever since. And it was a step of obedience and a step of faith. I'm not saying we are heroes of faith. We did it, you know, often with fear and anxiety. And sometimes God, that was the only option, trusting him. And he showed himself faithful. But, you know, not always at the time we hoped or wished for, but he showed up. And, you know, for us, that was more important to follow the call and all of that. And at times we had really good food provided for us at farms, even where I was working as a consultant and farm planner. Other times, we were just forced to go to the supermarket. But I have to say, in the European countries I've been in, you can get higher quality food compared to the yeah. US in the stores. It's not as bad yet, at least if you choose wisely.
Yes, yeah.
And so we were taken care of. I was really sick in December. We were in an apartment with mold. I think the mold also caused some weight gain in me. I was 30 pounds heavier than I am right now. It was really bad. I was had my pain medication for my to even be able to do daily tasks. And that's why I went on carnivore. We can talk about that later. But, mm-hmm. you know, we believe the time is coming again for us where we will be able to raise our own food. I think it's really important. But I also want to say that we do not, that is not our God. Let's put it that way, right?
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and he is the most important thing in my life. And not the health, not the food. Mm-hmm. But that is important to us, you know. And as a Christian, as a pastor, I do teach on the importance of, like Paul says in Corinthians, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, right? It's not just talking about, like, I think a lot of Christians have neglected mental and physical health. And, you know, and I do have an emphasis on that. But to me, and sometimes I believe when God calls us to step out in faith, we do not see how all these things will work out. Neither do we right now as we move to the United States, but we trust that God will provide that. And this was also, you know, for us as a family, of course, our hearts were attached to a lot of people and things in Sweden, right? my son cried, my oldest son cried and said, oh, now we have to leave when it's spring. It's all beautiful here. I love to go fishing. I love to be on the lake. I mean, we lived on a peninsula into one of the clearest lakes in Sweden, right? It was like 10 miles long and you know, 7 miles wide or something. And we could fish, all that. And my son was crying. And I was like, I feel the same way, but I trust that God has something else for us. And then at that time, we didn't know where we'd end up in Austria. And a few months later, we lived in a mountain cabin surrounded by a huge pond where all summer long, they were able to fish and swim and be in that pond. And God provided that, you know, and yeah. Our kids have seen this in the last 3.5 years. They have seen us know nothing. And then God provided. We were kicked off of a farm after where we were supposed to be the lead farmers. And it was a very ambitious project. It was supposed to be a farm in Europe that was kind of supposed to be like a lead example for regenerative agriculture. And we were supposed to lead the project. And for several reasons that are not important, we were forced out. And we had nothing again, and God provided again. And our kids, they saw this over and over again. And we have made it very, we have been very intentional about it with our children from the beginning that, guys, it's not just God tells mama and papa and you are forced to come along. We believe that where God is sending us, he's sending us for your sake too.
Yeah.
He has a plan there for you too and a purpose. And the same with the U.S. I think with the United States, our kids, they think they are American. I think they have no idea what culture shock is awaiting them, really.
Yeah.
Because my wife, she is from Oregon, but she has never really lived in the U.S. as an adult. You know, she moved here before she was 21. And I think there will be a culture shock for all of us and a learning curve. I've been there several times for longer stretches of times each, 1 to 2 months. But the thing is, we've never been there looking at things with the thought we might live here. This might be our home. And so we are going to start kind of like toddlers at zero again. We have to learn everything. I mean, what's it called? Where do you find this park? Mm-hmm. How do you go about this? You know, that's always a humbling place to be at. We do bring a lot of other experience. Our kids are very rich in a lot of cultural and linguistic experience, so to speak, you know, but we'll see. If ultimately, we trust that God will be with us and provide.
You know, and the reason I wanted you to talk about that is so many people, we get emails all the time and comments all the time and people that want to, you know, become a rancher or start farming or be, air quotes, you know, more self-sustainable. Certainly as Christians, obviously we want to take personal responsibility and we want to prepare for life and things that happen, whether it's a power outage, a hurricane, a tornado, any type of calamity or tribulation. It's not, we certainly are not preparing to endure the book of Revelation as far as from an eschatological standpoint. But there's so much wisdom in just preparing for life, not expecting anyone or everyone to help you or take care of you. But there's so much beauty in the fact that as Christians, you know, the Lord promises to provide for us and to care for us. And as much as we do prepare and take responsibility and work with our hands that we might eat, right? There is still an overarching concept and fact that God provides for us regardless of our ability. And there's so much peace and comfort in that, even though fear will be there and we will be fearful because of our human state and not being omniscient and not knowing the future. Obviously, fear will be there, but let patience have her perfect work, right? That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. These trials and tribulation grow our faith so that we can trust in the Lord and illustrate it to our children and illustrate to them in reality that God provides and he honors faithfulness. You know, if we wait on the Lord and we consider him, you know, you were in Sweden, you were growing all your own food, you had all of these resources, and the Lord's like, no, you're going to go over here. And to someone just observing the scenario, they'd be like, wait, that's foolish, that's stupid. Yeah. You know, you have all of this infrastructure, you've planned this out, you've worked hard, and you've done all this, and now what you've basically prepared for in a real way has happened, in a sense of everything's locked down, access and all these things. And here you are literally forsaking and neglecting that to go somewhere where you have nothing. And there's so much beauty in that. You know, when you were experiencing it, I'm sure there was a lot of fear and you're like, wow, what's going to happen? But now in hindsight, you can look back and say, yeah, that's what God did, you know? And now with this next move, you can sit down with your children and say, hey, remember when we left Sweden? Remember when we moved? And at the time it seemed like wild and crazy, and it seemed like antithetical to like everything. And do you see what the Lord did? And because you did that, now the door is open that you can move to the U.S. and this whole other part of the journey continues. And that should be really encouraging to y'all that are listening or watching. And if you've been considering, we were talking about it last night in our live stream, you know, we had multiple friends when we moved. Yeah, you know, I'm going to do that. You know, we're going to do that. You know, we're going to sell our house and we're going to move. And they're still there 10 years later. They're still right where they were 10 years ago. And, you know, now if the Lord doesn't want you to move, don't move. But so many people are paralyzed out of fear of the unknown and fear of the future. And they don't realize it, but they're just not trusting in God to make the changes and the moves that he wants them to make. And I just think that is wild that y'all moved with 50 euros. What's that, like 120 bucks or something like that?
No, it's about the same.
It's about the same right now? Yeah, the exchange rate? Yeah, that's incredible. And the Lord provided, and not only did the Lord provide, now he's opened the door for y'all to move again. So,
I mean, I would do it different if I could. You know, it wasn't our choice to only have that much. But you know, that like we have just seen ourselves repeatedly in those moments, in those times. You know, like you won't believe, like it was so strong to us, the whole story of the exodus of the people of Israel out of Egypt. We saw so many parallels to what we were going through, you know, and I'm not trying to hint towards that we were in slavery in Sweden. That's not what I mean, right? But God was just encouraging us and showing us, and we weren't supposed to. I mean, everybody came to us saying it won't work, and like it's a story that will take 2-3 hours to tell, and I've shared it as our part of our testimony before, and people were just really blessed and blown away. And the cool part about it is that it gives the glory to God, because there is nothing in it that we can take credit for, you know? Like, yes, we went, but we also didn't see a different direction where we could go. I mean, when God placed the people of Israel by the Red Sea, they couldn't return, right? There was Pharaoh coming. So, I mean, they were complaining. That was the one thing where, of course, the tendency is in us. We are humans, right? And to always, when God doesn't show up at our timing, right, or the way we want him to, then we start to become like the people of Israel and right away complain. And that was always mind-blowing to me. I was like, here we have people who saw the walls of the ocean they walked through. It's they saw manna come from heaven. They saw rock come water come out of the rock. They saw all these miracles. Miracle. They saw the 10 plagues, right? And yet they complained all the time, and they didn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Mm. And I'm like, you know how people always want more miracles? It's like, well, they were the generation that saw more miraculous things than any generation, yet they'd had so little faith that they couldn't enter the promised land. Well, that was the thing when we were always, you know, tempted to fall into that. I was like, I don't want that. I want to remember all that God has done for us in the past. And that's really how it has been. And you have mentioned this before, like God has always increased our level of trust and faith in him. So patiently. I mean, he wouldn't have to do that. I, you know, if I was God, I would just be annoyed at all the people, you know, but he raises us up as a patient father, and we see him provide for $10, you know, and then eventually we can trust him with $1,000,000 because it's just a bunch of zeros, and zero is nothing anyway. So
That's great. And you know what, when I try to, you know, when people ask me for advice and counsel, and if they're going through a really difficult time, what I have learned is if you are a child of God, if you're his son, God wants you as his son. He is going to put you in a position. You might be married, you might have children, you might have a church, you might have a pastor, you might have other Christian brothers that support you and encourage you and counsel you, but God will and wants to put you in a position where you have nothing but him, you know? So even though he's blessed you and given you all these things, a wife, children, family, support system, a church, a brotherhood, he desires to put you in a position where you're only... the only place that you can turn to is him. And in spite of your entire life and everything you understand in the flesh, you know, he's going to put you in that position. And that's a very, it's for me, it was a very fearful thing. But when you recognize what God is doing in your life and embrace it, it's very comforting. And it's that peace that passeth all understanding. And what it is, it's an anchor point in your life that you can always turn to. Maybe it will be only a handful of times. Maybe it will be every month. And I think part of that is part of the learning curve as children of God is if we don't learn the first time, you know, maybe we'll have to experience it many times. And some children don't learn. They're stubborn, and we all are in our own ways. But you know, I really want people to take encouragement in your testimony and seeing what the Lord is doing with you, your wife, your family. I think it's going to be so neat as you're documenting it. You know, the reason, you know, we've been censored and shadow banned since forever because I don't like to filter myself or my words, and maybe that's to my own hurt. And in large part, the reason I don't want to do it is I appreciate what we have been gifted in America by you know, the Bill of Rights that were just enumerated on paper, that are God-given rights. Like if we don't exercise them, obviously they vanish. We're watching them vanish. So there's a lot in that too. And we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves as well. You know, we have discernment. You know, we've been so like disappeared when it comes to like the algorithm and the internet. But one of the reasons that I've always refused to not leave YouTube is God has blessed us so much and continues to provide for us. I want to keep that footprint there to show God's faithfulness to us. And so that people that have followed us can look back and say, oh, hey, I wonder those weirdos, you know, that those Christian God people, those weirdos that try to live it out and do all that stuff. I wonder what they're doing, and they can, I wonder what the Texas boys are doing, you know, and they can look, oh, we're still there, you know, by the grace of God, we're still kicking. We're still trying to do all the things we haven't arrived. We're not perfect. We're not like these cyber Pharisees that we don't create our life so that we, only show all piety and holiness and perfection and all these different things, you know, that we've always wanted to illustrate our faith as real as our life. And we are, we're fallible. We're human. We make mistakes. But God provides. And when we repent and, we try to correct our errors and, but we want to give all the praise and the honor and the glory to God. And it's so encouraging to see other families doing that. And I want to shift gears here a little bit to talk about this carnivore thing.
Yeah.
So it's so funny because I just heard that maybe like a couple of videos ago. Because like you said, we're all so busy. We don't get to keep track of our YouTube friends. So, and then y'all's life has been a little busy and different things, but since you started putting back out videos, I heard you mention maybe a couple of videos back, you mentioned it in passing, like, since I'm carnivore, I think y'all were eating ice cream cones and you mentioned something about that you're carnivore. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I just felt, so in my life, I was very athletic as a teenager, did lots of sports, won track competitions in school and all that. And then when we started to have kids, I gained like, I don't know, close to like 8 to 10 pounds with each child. And, you know, then I was so busy in ministry and all that. And I just felt, all my 20s, I felt like tired, old, out of shape, you know, all of that, but still was trying to tell myself, you know, it's good. It's fine. You know, like you can do it. And well, I think the first time Justin Rhodes really did a strict carnivore for his health, I tried it for a month, and this was years ago in Sweden. And it was amazing to me. Like I had chronic, what do you call it? Like chronic, inflammation in my intestines.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just lots of issues, super nervous stomach and everything. I react to stress through my stomach. And, when I did that, I just felt so much better. But I only did it for a little over a month. And then, you know, I still wasn't, I still have my doubts about, or questions mm-hmm. about the diet and all of that. But so fast forward to the end of last year, I was in very bad shape, very sick. I think part of it was that we had mold in our mm-hmm. apartment. Our kids were also acting up a lot, which I think was connected to that, to mm-hmm. be honest.
Yep.
We also lived right. We lived on a farm where I was working, but right next to a city. And there was all the light smog and the 5G. Everything was just radiating on our apartment. And, you know, and I just felt the sum of it all is not healthy. But I had almost every day, I had migraines and headaches, and I hate taking painkillers, but at that time I just found myself taking them because I couldn't participate in life really. And one time my second son came to me and asked me to do something with him. And I said, I can't, I have a headache, I'm sick. And he started crying and saying, Papa, you're always sick. And that really struck me hard, where I was like, I cannot be a father. I cannot be a husband. I cannot provide for my family like this. And at that time, we were already waiting for the visa, because we've been waiting for nearly 2 years for my visa. And so I was like, how the heck am I even dreaming about wanting to start up anything in the States? That'll require everything of me, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So this was a few weeks before we were going to move to another farm where we are going to farm sit for a while waiting for the visa. And then I was also ended up doing some holistic management training with them and all of that. But I said, Alex, let's get through the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, you know, to my wife. And then January 1st, I want to, when we've celebrated all that, I just want to radically change my diet. I just want to eat meat. Because I knew it had worked for me in the past. I just saw so many other people do it. And, you know, the first time I had looked into carnivore or a strict, like, beef or meat diet, you had folks like Jordan Peterson and his daughter. They had been doing it for a couple of years or so. But now, this time around, they had been doing it for 6 or 7 years, and they were still doing it. Yeah. You know, and that was to me like, okay, we're starting to see some long-term, references here. And so I did that, and I was super, super strict, I would say, for 3 months or so. So I would still consider myself on the carnivore diet, even though the last few months I have occasionally eaten some nuts and occasionally eaten some fruit and, you know, stuff like that. But I still, I would say 95% or more even is meat and the focus on beef. Yep. And I have no more headaches. I think I look younger. People say that. Yep. I feel younger. I have energy again. I want to work out because, like, is, you know, where I had to force myself, like I do daily, I do push-ups, pull-ups, all that kind of stuff. I think my chemistry has changed. I have energy again. I can be there for my family. And I don't want to return. I know that in 2-3 months, I'd be at my ideal body weight. You know, fat, muscle mass, all that stuff. And I feel great. It helps me to be a better father, better husband, to work better. And you know, people, even family, have been trying to discourage me from that. Oh, I couldn't do that. That's disgusting. And it's gross and everything. And you know what? I will never forget what I think it was Jordan Peterson's daughter, Michaela, what she said. Nothing tastes as good as being healthy feels.
That's so true.
And that is true. And, you know, and yeah. So I'm not going back. I will probably always eat a little bit of fruit and you know, my wife made a spelt sourdough bread, but I really try to stay away from grains.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, some fruit in measure, because the fruit we have today is also very different to fruit, what fruit used to be.
Yes.
And you know, people have often approached me, you know, there are videos out there where Christians make a case for being vegan or vegetarian and all that. And I, you know, I see a strong case for carnivore scripture, biblically seen. I see a strong case for why it is not reasonable to promote a vegan diet based on where we are right now in the history of the human kind, you know?
And
I'm open with people about that when I but yeah, I'm doing great.
Yeah. And you know, that's what we experienced. You know, my wife probably had like very severe thyroid cancer and we went to MD Anderson. She had two doctors tell her, you need that crazy tumor cut out, you know, and we went down there. Well, we decided to treat it holistically with the Gerson therapy, you know, and a lot of plant-based approach. And through that and prayer and by the grace of God, you know, God healed her of all that. And, so she was very passionate about plant-based and all these different things. But as time would have it, and I had developed a chronic arthritic condition in my left shoulder that deteriorated it to the point where four orthopedic surgeons said, you got to replace your shoulder, you know, and they scoped it out, cleaned it up, and it's like 40% gone, you know, and these different people were saying, you know, you should look at, you know, doing this meat-based thing. And I had always been a lover of protein and meat, being, you know, weight training and doing all those different, being active and different things. And the Lord just kind of opened this door, and my wife, you know, considered it, and we started doing it, and we've just had so much benefit from it, you know, health-wise. Yeah. And then the Lord opened up this thing where we started selling our own cows, and now it's just become, it's pretty wild to see how it's all come about. But it's very strange to me, just like you were saying, these people that want to build this biblical case either against it or for it or whatever, where, well, if you try it, you know, and you see benefit and you see healing in it and it works and there's no abolition to it in scripture, why, you know, why do people feel this, they feel the need to resist it or some reason because it's not balanced or whatever. It's just very strange, and it's neat getting to hear from other people that are benefiting from it. And you know, and what I want to attempt to do is a lot of the doctors involved in it, they want to explain it from some kind of like evolutionary process and, yeah, you know, and, yeah, and they want to artificially backfill it from an evolutionary standpoint of this is why it is the case. And it's always been the case, which clearly that's, If you hold a biblical worldview and a biblical Christian timeline, that's not the case, which is right, still completely explainable, demonstrable, and we can see it, but that does not make it a reality now that it is beneficial. So that's really great to hear your success. Yeah. And the beauty of it for me is it's a self-regulating diet in the sense of when you cheat heavy, because I still use honey almost every day, and we grow a lot of fruit trees. So I love figs. So if there's some good figs or peaches out there, I pick them and eat them. And those are, you know, free of any, we don't spray any pesticides on them. There may be other people spraying stuff on them unbeknownst to me, maybe at 30,000 feet or whatever. But, but even at that, I mean, we greatly benefit from it, and it doesn't have to be like this puritanical thing either. Well, you know, you can't deviate from this. It's got to be exclusively this or exclusively that. That, you know, that's like life.
Everybody's different there too. It depends on at what stage you were health-wise. I think, you know, for example, Jordan Peterson and his daughter, they are the most well-known examples probably of the strict lion diet, where they really just do eat beef and salt, or buffalo or lamb and salt, like just ruminant meat and salt. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they have such a history of mold exposure and health issues that's a whole, many people have been exposed to mold. And I believe in modern living situation, more people than realize it have been exposed. Vegetables are difficult because they all have spores of mushrooms and all that kind of stuff in them, right? So that's why they don't react with meat, why it's a healthy diet for them often. But it really depends on where you're at. And I think when you do it for a long time, you could try to slowly reintroduce things. I notice, like I just before I came here, I ate some Greek yogurt and honey, which I haven't done in months. I notice when I eat that every day, I don't lose any more weight.
Mm-hmm.
And once I'm at the place where I want to be, I can probably eat that, especially from my own dairy cow or goat or whatever. You just have to see. I mean, your body should, if it's in a healthy state, can handle certain things, right?
Yeah.
But like, until I'm where I really want to be. And I've done this now, you know, now it's middle of September. I've done it since January 1st. Had a couple months where I did eat, for example, a lot of Greek yogurt. I could already be where I want to be. But for me, it's more important to have a consistent incline in health than try to reach it and fall back. Yeah. And, you know, and you know, I did eat some cake when it was my child's birthday. And the cakes my wife bakes, they are healthier than what you get in the store. Sure. But, you know, for the sake, I'm not, you know, a legalistic jerk about it.
Well, I think that's what's beautiful about your testimony. It's similar to ours. Is we were already eating a Whole Foods, non-processed. You know, if we did bake anything, we baked it ourselves. We baked it with clean, mostly whole, single ingredients and different things. And I, like you, I was just like, I had kind of like just resign the fact to like, well, this is getting old. I'm just old. I don't have energy. I really feel kind of tired and sick. It's probably just because I'm 47, you know, I'm probably just old. Right. And like, wow, if this, what this really kind of stinks, you know? And then when you change your diet and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I actually sleep good now. I actually have energy. I don't need to take a nap at 2 o'clock. And I have energy to do things. And as a father, you know, I have these, I still have some physical restrictions with my shoulder range of motion and power and strength. I'm not going to be doing, you know, 150 pound shoulder presses probably anytime soon or ever again. But,
yeah, the thing is, when I was at such a bad, I mean, I would say in the last 15 years, I was not in such good, and it went slowly worse and worse. But what I felt like always is like, where do I start? I don't sleep well. And then they say to work out, but I have like no strength and no energy. So then I don't work out. I feel like I need to sleep in order to work out or eat. But, you know, it was all connected. Yeah. All connected. It's all connected. And so where should I start? And that's why I felt like with diet, I can really start there. And so now, you know, I don't snore. I can sleep better. I don't have these breathing, you know, where what do you call
sleep
it?
Sleep apnea.
Like, where you
stop breathing.
Yeah. You know, where you stop breathing sometimes and then you know, wake up almost or whatever. And so when you wake up rested, and then you also can get your body out to do some work or whatever, you know, and so it all, and then once you have that going, it goes exponentially, you know, and you just accelerate.
It's a vicious cycle, or it's the Victor circle, you know? And so I had the exact same vicious cycle, didn't sleep, was tired. So my workouts stunk. Well, and my shoulder was totally deteriorated, which created back and neck issues. But, you know, but it just becomes this vicious cycle. And when you can break that vicious cycle, to just sleep. And the fascinating thing for me is everybody has the same testimony when it comes to sleep. Wow, I sleep better. I sleep deeper. I stay asleep. I don't wake up like because I stop breathing. You know, I told everybody that. I've never had a sleep study. And I'm like, I know I have sleep apnea, you know. And and it's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of testimonies now. We're going to be part of this 24-hour carnivore live stream this weekend. I think it's tomorrow night. And all of these different people that have experienced these same health benefits. And we just want to encourage people, hey, try it. You know, if you've been trying to eat organic and whole foods and do all these things and you still feel like you're stuck, like maybe there's a solution to that, and maybe you should try it for 30 to 90 days. And look, and if it doesn't work, please don't do it. By no means do it.
Right.
But maybe if you have some success, you know, maybe that's what you've been kind of looking for with your health. And we just experienced so much success with it. And what we saw, we had our own A2 cow, you know, and we milked the cow twice a day. And we were consuming all this dairy and dairy byproducts, A2 completely raw, unprocessed, unpasteurized. But we were still seeing these different issues with our teeth and everything. And You know, and that has changed now. You know, we did cut out the dairy, and we're reintroducing dairy. We're adding butter. We're adding dairy back in, right? But we were, you know, there's so many things in this modern, holistic, even organic paradigm where even though you're implementing it, whether it's through soil depletion, whether it's stuff coming falling from the sky, I don't know. I don't have an answer for it, but what we can clearly see demonstrated in people's quality of health is that it's not, you know, it's not like when you implement this fully organic, kind of more plant-based, if you neglect the nutrient-dense meat and different things, it will dramatically impact your health negatively. And I think that is very demonstrable just by observation that can be seen.
Yeah, I think it's that meat is so nutrient dense and it goes through a filter. Mm-hmm. The cow filters out stuff, right? And so you eat that, and we live in a day and age where we are exposed to more harmful things on all fronts, where it becomes more important to do that. But I also say, you know, try it out, see if it works for you, and listen how radical you have to go on it. Like as soon as I eat greens and vegetables, I become a biogas factory. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like I'm so bloated and it hurts. It's uncomfortable. And it's like, and they're telling me I have to eat it or I'll die. And I'm like, no.
Right. You know? And it's so simple. Like you observe that. Okay. You say this is healthy. I'll eat it. And like, man, why don't I feel good? You know? And it's like, well, obviously for me, it's not working. So I'm going to do something different. And you know how studies go. It's hard to know what studies to trust and who funded it. But, you know, there was just a study done here in Texas. I don't know if it was A&M, but supposedly, according to this study, they're claiming that the cow, because of its three stomachs, they're claiming that they're not finding the glyphosate in the meat. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I do find it fascinating, and I find it interesting with what we're experiencing. Now, we're predominantly eating all of our own meat, but we've been selling our meat out from under ourselves. So we've been forced to buy some meat from the store too, which we don't prefer to do, but you know, we've just been kind of stuck because we've been a little bit too aggressive with our sales strategy. And I will pause for a station identification. This is a value for value proposition. And if you do love and appreciate what we do, please go to thetexasboys.com. If you are local to Northeast Texas, we do have a beef and pork pickup. So if you want to place your order, we're still taking orders for October. So if you want to participate in that, you can make a deposit. We will keep you posted there. But we love and appreciate our customer base. We really love getting to meet y'all at the meat pickups. It's been very neat getting to talk to y'all, hear your story, and meet lots of people that are starting on this journey or just kind of getting started with the idea of eating better, eating cleaner. Now we're talking to the older folks that are like converting to like a meat-based, animal-based diet and their successes. It's really neat. So check out thetexasboys.com, and we love and appreciate y'all. And Simeon, I really appreciate the time that you, and we're going to have you back on. You and your family have an open invitation that when you're in the Northeast Texas area, our neck of the woods, you are more than welcome to visit with us and fellowship with us. We look forward to that. We're going to be praying for Godspeed and traveling mercies to continue this journey that has technocratic touching points to all of it. So we will be in prayer for that. But I certainly hope that your story encourages others to make the changes that they've been, you know, certain people have been feeling a pull and a tug to do some things, and out of a normalcy bias or out of an internal fear or maybe even an external fear, or maybe it's relatives, right, that are telling you you're crazy or you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't move there or you shouldn't eat that or whatever it is, right? You need to trust the Lord and you need to step out in faith. And if you are truly honoring and glorifying God, He will bless you. He'll guide and direct you. He'll guide your paths and He'll direct your steps. And He'll provide and He'll open the doors that need to open. He'll close the doors that need to close. And you will get to where He wants you to be. And I can't wait to continue to follow y'all's story. I can't wait for y'all to be on American soil and hopefully, Lord willing, one day get to meet y'all. Do you have any, to sum it all up or any kind of closing thoughts, do you have anything that you want to leave with the audience?
Yeah, I love, you know, your heart to encourage your listeners to take these steps. And that's something that's on my wife and my heart as well. We, you know, what we want to do when we come to the States, and we're going to share more of this. And this is probably the first time we're sharing it at a more, online space. But it's on our heart to really help provide a place, a farm where people can learn regenerative agriculture farming methods, but still have the focus on God and discipleship, you know, because our focus is really on the farmer, not so much on the farm, because when the farmer is doing well, then the farm is doing well too. And we have a holistic approach to that, where we really think it's important to teach. You know, we come from a biblical worldview, and that is what drives us into regenerative agriculture, into the farming. And we want to, like God has shown my wife and I to share our story, and that makes us vulnerable. People also bash and they disagree and all of that. And we are, you know, right now we are losing a lot of subscribers every day because we are becoming more and more open about sharing about our faith. That when we started the channel, that's not what it was about, but we're going to continue doing that. And obviously a lot of people will leave. Some people will maybe be gained, but yeah, we want to provide a place where homesteaders, you know, who are very have strong convictions about how to raise their families, where they could send, for example, their children, that they can look beyond their own homestead, learn a lot of good farming practices. We will teach holistic management certified by Savory. We will teach others, hopefully have good guest teachers as well. And parallel to that, we'll run a Bible-based discipleship program. So, you know, I've had this, what if a lot of homesteaders are Christians, and if they want to send their kids off to Bible school, you know, then they're in the city and they have to surrender their lifestyle. But if they want to send them to farm, many farms, they don't have, you don't know what Christian environment or non-Christian environment they're going to come in. And we just have it on our heart to raise a generation and give the opportunity where they can come and they can focus on both still parallel. And we're really excited about that, you know.
That's very ambitious. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is ambitious, but we are praying for God to open the doors for that.
Well, it's very needful, and we'll be praying for y'all. We will be watching along. So I think if I understand it correctly, you're basically considering Tennessee as far as your final resting point?
Yeah, so we have always been saying that now for the last couple of years, and it's likely that we'll end up there, but we also, you know, like you said earlier, we make our plans and the answer comes from the Lord then at the end, but we want to in the new year, after, you know, after we've spent the holidays or, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas and New Year's with the family, we want to take a trip, you know, spy out the land, just pray. We want to give ourselves the time to enjoy that we have arrived in the States. We want to get to know the country. Great idea. We want to see parts of the land, the continent. We want to share that with our kids. We want to celebrate and enjoy that after such a long wait. We're there. We have friends all over that we want to visit. And hopefully on the way east, we will drive through Texas. So awesome. Our plan is to stop by you guys. Yeah. So that's our plan. And then, you know, I cannot say anything about timing or location, really. We want to just hear from the Lord. And we've had several people reach out and say, you can do my farm, you can farm my land. And that is super nice and sweet and amazing. But we have not felt for any of those places yet that that is where God wants us currently. But we are praying. And, you know, again, we come with very much nothing or very little, but we believe that God has a ministry there for us, and so he'll provide. Where God guides, God provides.
Yeah, that is true. That is absolutely true. We know that for a fact in our life, and we'll be praying for y'all. So for anyone that wants to follow along on your process, your journey, where can folks find you, Simeon?
Yeah, so we're most well-known through our YouTube channel. It's now called Simeon and Alex. I think we still have it where it says formerly Swedish Homestead. We'll post videos there as we are able to share here now in this busy process. But then we want to vlog our journey of arriving. We're kind of switching gears a little bit on our channel. So where it started out as a how-to homesteading channel where I was just sharing stuff we were doing, it turned slowly more into showing what we were doing on a daily basis, vlogging. And now we're gonna get a new channel banner here very soon. It's gonna be the focus on us as a family of six transitioning from Europe to the States, basically kind of like modern immigrants. Mm-hmm. You know, awesome. Really telling that story. Great. Is America still worth pursuing? Awesome. You know, is it still the land of the limitless opportunities and stuff? And you know, yes, it's a little bit show and drama behind it, but that we want to tell a story. We want people to follow along. We want them to see, you know, we are a Christian family. We're leaving Europe. We have some hopes for the States, even though we're not moving there for the politics and we're not moving there, you know, for what, like we feel like ultimately God is calling us there, but there are some things we're looking forward to. Some freedoms we'll have there that we won't have, that we didn't have here. And we just want to tell that story, kind of like 100 years ago, you could have filmed that story. And now we are filming that with us in 2023, 24. And I hope that that'll get some attention. And then that process will hopefully eventually lead to us finally getting our hands on some land and building up a farm.
Wow. That sounds exciting. We're looking forward to following along. So you can check out Simeon at Simeon and Alex, formerly Swedish Homestead, on YouTube. I think, Simeon, you're also on Instagram. Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, my wife does Instagram a lot, and I have started to do Twitter, where I'm at Real Sound Farmer. The Sound Farmer is our business that we run together. So yeah, I'm more on Twitter, or X it's called now, and my wife is more on Instagram, and together we do the YouTube channel.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And I hope this motivates, informs, and enlightens some of y'all. And with that, I have one more recommendation for all y'all. Stay fearless, my friends.